Ekfin Web Design is there to help accommodate. Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Are We to Deal with Those Who Abuse Us?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Remember last week we talked about the persecution of the Christians, about when we are treated shamefully, hurt, and spit upon for the name of Christ, that we have to endure insults, hardships, persecutions, sufferings, maybe even death for Christ. This week, I'd like to take a look with you at how we should endure sufferings when people hurt us, when they treat us shamefully, when they horribly abuse us, when they do things to attack us, whether because we're Christians or whether just because we're in the world and the world tends to be hurtful towards one another and abuse one another and insult us or hurt us in any kind of way. How should we react? How should we respond to that? What's God's will for us? What does Jesus say? Should we attack back, do you think? Is that a good idea? Get even? Seek revenge? Avenge ourselves on them? Seek the justice? Or should we turn the other cheek? What do you say? Well, you know the answer to that, of course, right? It's turn the other cheek. But today, let's take a look at what does it mean, though, to turn the other cheek when someone attacks us or hurts us or abuses us. Does that mean you should yield every time to evil? Does that mean you should never stick up for yourself? Does that mean you are called to be a doormat for people to walk all over you? Does that mean you're called to be a punching bag? Does that mean you can never use any force or put up a fight or stand up for yourself? What does it mean to turn the other cheek? What's Jesus talking about? Let's take a look at that today so we know how to react, what God's will is for us when people do attack us, harm us, shamefully treat us, abuse us. How should we respond? What's God's will for us? What's it mean to turn the other cheek? Well, the first thing I think we can say about that is, frankly, we all suffer hurt and abuse in this life, don't we? Sometimes for being Christians, like we talked about last week, the persecution of the Christian. We have to endure a lot for the name of Christ, attacks and insults and hardships and maybe even physical pain and death. But also, you know, a lot of times it's just for being in this world, because this is a sinful world, a fallen and evil world, and people hurt each other all over the place, all the time. It's just the way the world goes, unfortunately. And how can they hurt us? People hurt us a lot of times by their words. That's usually the way it is. And words really sting. They really can hurt. But sometimes it's by physical abuse. Maybe they'll even hit you. Or maybe it's through neglect or rejection or mocking or putting you down, of course, with words again. Or all kinds of ways. Many other evil deeds they can do to hurt you, to abuse you, to shamefully treat you. And it's tough to put up with people like that. And it's tough, you know, we all get hurt. So how should we respond? What should be our reaction? How do you deal with those who shamefully treat you? Well, the first natural inclination, knee-jerk response for us would be to hit back, correct? To hurt, to get even, to settle the score, to get revenge, to seek justice. Now, why would it be? Well, I think it's because God, according to Romans 2, put his law upon the hearts of all human beings. We have a sense of justice. If someone hurts us or treats us wrongfully, justly or unjustly, if we even perceive that there's an injustice against us, we want the balances of justice to be settled, to bring it back to justice. We want to seek revenge, to have vengeance ourselves. As we read in the Bible, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, as the Bible says. Now, it reminds me of a story I once heard of Julius Caesar that I read about. He was on a ship in the Aegean Sea heading towards an island, and a group of pirates came and captured the ship and captured Julius Caesar. They demanded a ransom price of 12,000 golden pieces. So his staff goes away to arrange the 12,000 pieces, and while he's captured for those 40 days waiting for the ransom to come, he jokes mockingly, lightly with his captors that when he gets set free, he's going to hunt every one of them down and crucify them to the last man. And they just laughed at him because who is this guy, Julius Caesar? Well, when the ransom came and he was released, the first thing he did was go out and gather a fleet, pursue those pirates, capture them, and he crucified them to the last man. He got vengeance. He got justice. He returned hurt for hurt. Isn't that the way most people deal with getting hurt in this world? If someone hurts you, then you hurt them. If they hit you, you should hit them back. If they insult you, you should insult them. If they abuse you, you should abuse them. Get even. And immediately if you can. Now, Caesar had to take a few months till he was released, but as the Italians always say, revenge is a dish best served as a cold antipasto. So whether you get even right away or you get even later on, even if we don't get even, even if we don't have the power to do it, at least we're thinking, oh, I could have said this to that person, to make ourselves feel better about reestablishing the balances of justice. The desire to settle the score that's inside of all of us is the first knee-jerk reaction. An eye for an eye, it'll be a tooth for a tooth. You hit me, I'm going to hit you. So is that right, though? What do you say? Is that the right way to go? Is that how God wants us to respond and how he commands us to do so? No. You know the answer. What is it? Turn the other cheek. Let's read that, actually. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 38. Jesus proclaimed, "You have heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." That's the instructions of the Lord for you and me as Christians when we are persecuted and hit and struck and abused. Turn the other cheek. What's that mean, though? What does that mean to turn the other cheek? Is it like the Irish boxer who became a Christian? You ever hear this story? An Irish boxer became a Christian. He became a preacher, and he was at an evangelistic event preaching Jesus Christ, and some thugs, tough guys, saw him preaching. They didn't like that word about Jesus, so they challenged him and threw insulting remarks at him. And the Irishman just turned and looked at the men. Then they struck him, one of the bullies, on the cheek, and he took the hit. And so, seeing he didn't respond, they give him another blow, struck him on the other cheek. And then he rolled up his sleeves and he says, "All right, that's it, I have no further instructions from the Lord." And he destroyed them. Yeah. Is that what God's telling us? Is that what Jesus says? Just let him hit you once or twice and then go after and destroy them? Obviously not, that's not what he means. But is it also, that word about the turning the other cheek, does that mean that you can never respond with force or never fight back, stand up for yourself? Does it mean you need to be a punching bag? Well, there's an article I saw by a guy named Michael Pearl on the internet who had a Mennonite neighbor who practiced non-resistance under all circumstances. Well, he said by personal experience, he watched this guy with non-resistance towards evil. Some men in the city, the town, were very evil, and they came in and they went into his house and asked to have, unfortunately, sexual liberties with his daughters. And believing that he's never to resist evil, he just didn't do anything about it. And they were molested and they became pregnant, and the men continued to abuse him with evil. That, friends, is the wrong interpretation of turning the other cheek. It does not mean you can never use force. In fact, if you are going to be righteous, in that case, as a father, your duty is to use physical force if necessary to defend your home and family. You're not called, therefore, to be a punching bag, a doormat, to never stand up for yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't use even physical force at times to defend yourself or to defend others, or that people need to persecute you without consequence. It's not a stand-down order under all circumstances. Amen? Can I prove that to you out of Scripture and the Bible? For example, you look over here. David, remember, he was the great warrior, man of God, but when he was away at one time and his family was at Ziklag, his wife, two wives, and then all his army's wives and children, we read, David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, and the Amalekites had made a raid against upon the Negev and upon Ziklag. They had overcome Ziklag and burned it with fire and taken captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great. They killed no one, but carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, they found it burned with fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. What are you going to do, David? Turn the other cheek? Just let it go? Well, all the men lifted up their voices and wept till they had no more strength, for they were weeping for their wives and for their children. And they almost stoned David for that. And David was greatly distressed. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And he asked through the priest, he asked of God, "Shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them?" And God said to him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake, and you shall surely rescue." Would you say with me the word rescue?
Rescue.
We're called to use strength, at times even physical force, to rescue if necessary. So what did David do? He got his 600 men. He went after this marauding band. He hunted them down. He found them. And David smote them from twilight to evening the next day. Not a man escaped except 400 men who mounted camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken. David rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken. David brought back them all. Does that sound like a good and righteous thing to do? We need to use force, friends, sometimes to defend the weak, those who are in need of rescue. You gotta stand up if you're gonna be a Christian at times. And the man who read that article about the Mennonite neighbor who didn't resist said this about his Christian life. He says, "I have been struck for Christ. I have been pushed. I have been cursed for the gospel's sake. I have been threatened my life several times. I've been non-resistant in all cases, but when I came one day across a man raping a woman in the woods, I reached for my pistol and saved her. To this day, she's thankful I was not a pacifist. She didn't need a spectator, she needed a deliverer." So we're not pacifists as Christians. Doesn't mean you can never use force or you always yield to evil. So if that's not what it means, if it doesn't mean you just punch like the Irish boxer after two, and if it doesn't mean you can never use force, and if it doesn't mean that you're a doormat and a punching bag and to be walked over by the evil people of this world and just let yourself be abused and you can never stand up for yourself, if it's not those things, what does it mean? When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, what does it mean? This is the answer. It means when you are abused, shamefully treated, in any way, you are not to return evil for evil, but you're to overcome their evil with your good. Never seek revenge. Never seek getting even. That's the way the world works. Do not engage in the ring with the world the way they operate. Because how does the world operate? You insult me, I insult you. You hurt me, I hurt you. You hit me, I hit you. You abuse me, I abuse you. Jesus says you are not to engage in that kind of tit for tat, eye for eye, tooth for tooth at all. But rather, take it. Don't return the insult. Don't return the hurt. Don't return the evil. But rather, return to them good for the evil that they do to you. Does that make sense? Amen? Can we read that in the Bible? Well, the next couple of verses here, in Matthew, after he says that you're to turn the other cheek, he says, and if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him everyone who begs from you, and don't refuse him who would borrow from you. For you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and upon the unjust. So what's that mean? God in heaven, is he abused? Do people use and blaspheme his name daily? Sure. Does he give them every good thing and they still return from him evil, evil, evil all the day long? How does God your Father in heaven respond and react when people do him evil all the time? He continues to do them good. He sends his rain upon the just and on the unjust. And Jesus says, if you would be sons of the Father in heaven, do as your Father in heaven does. Don't let the evil overcome you and engage evil for evil, but be like your Father. When they do you evil, you do them good. You keep doing them good, and you be the true warrior, which takes greater strength to return good for evil, and you will overcome their evil by your good. Yes, when they abuse you, start praying for them. When they abuse you, bless them. For if you do this, you're going to receive from God a blessing. He says the next line, he says, for if you just love those who love you, what reward have you? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? In other words, if you only do good to those who do good to you and not to those who do evil, well, how are you better than the mafia? Right? Organized crime? What were the names of those guys in the Godfather movie? If you loved them, they would love you and take care of you. If you cross the mafia, well, you're going to end up in the East River. Because they believe returning evil for evil, they're going to tie cement around your legs and throw you into the drink, and you'll be gone. If you only love those who love you, how are you better than organized crime? You're no better. If you want credit from God, be like he is. Return good to them for their evil every time, and you will obtain a blessing. Because that's going to be to your credit. You're showing yourselves to be sons of the living God. And God will see that and reward you. In fact, 1 Peter 3, Peter says, don't return evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you've been called, so that you may obtain a blessing. Do you guys want a blessing? Then when someone abuses you, return them good. Pray for them and show them kindness, and God's going to see and go, blessing on your way. That's fantastic. That's my people. That's like me. Good job, Christian. Paul says the same in Romans 12. He says, repay no one evil for evil, evil for evil, but take thought for what's noble in the sight of God, of all. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And Jesus concludes Matthew 5 part saying, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. So, like Father, like Son? Be like Dad. Be like God above. When they do him evil, he does them good. You, being his sons, do them good when they do you evil as well. Take no vengeance. Never avenge yourselves. Never return evil for evil, abuse for abuse, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but rather let the deed go not paid back. Can you do that? It's tough. Don't pay them back, but rather, if you will, pay them back good for their evil. Take it patiently, but that doesn't mean you can't stand up for yourselves at times doing good, sometimes even with force. Can I give you an example of that from Jack, my son-in-law? You know, he's in the Air Force, and they used to be out at a base in Texas, and he's a good, strong young man. I couldn't have found a better guy for Naomi, my daughter. And there was a guy on the base one time, though, who learned some karate, and he was going around that part of the squadron threatening and bullying all the other airmen until he came to Jack. He tried to do it with Jack, and Jack is just a strong, good guy, and he says, and he's very direct, and he looked at the guy and he says, stand down, that's not good behavior. The guy continued to threaten and bully Jack, Until about 2 seconds later, Jack had him on the ground in a chokehold because he's a wrestler in high school. And he says, "Are you going to start behaving yourself?" And the guy's like, And he let him go. And then he got up and he was nice to everybody after that because he respected Jack, kind of feared him, and he said, "Can you teach me how to do that too?" But you know, sometimes, see, Jack wasn't returning evil for evil. Though he was using force, he was returning good for evil simply to protect all the people around him and then to hopefully bring the guy over to being a nicer guy. So turning the other cheek means don't seek vengeance. Return them good for evil. But it doesn't mean you can't stand up for yourself or for others at the same time. Okay, so if that's true, then where do we get this word in the Bible about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Isn't that in the Old Testament? It is. But what is the context of that? Notice this. In the Old Testament, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is a command of God, but it is not to you in your personal lives to seek out vengeance with one another. Just read our Old Testament reading. Do not seek vengeance. Who's that word for according to the context? Old Testament. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you know? Exodus 21. When men strive together and hurt a woman with child so that there is a miscarriage, and yet no harm follows, the one who hurt her shall be fined, according to as the woman's husband shall lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judges determine. If any harm follows, then you shall give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. To whom is that commanded?
The judges,
right, Art. To the magistrates, to the government, to the military, to the soldiers, to the police officers, to enforce justice. So on the streets, the policeman should not be forgiving drug dealers or drunken drivers. He should be giving them an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth so that the rest of us can live in peace, harmony, freedom, and quiet. So the word eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is not given to you and me personally in our lives, "I'll get you back." No. It's given to the government to execute justice. But Paul says the government in Romans 13 is established by God with his authority to execute his wrath upon the wrongdoer. It's for them to take vengeance and not you. So, as a side note, how sad it is in our country when a lot of liberal mayors, liberal governors, liberal attorneys general or whatever it is, or district attorneys, don't enforce these things. And they protect criminals and then arrest honest citizens. They'll have much to answer for before God. Their charge is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But for us in our personal lives, don't have anything to do with it. Jesus says, "As for you, being the true warriors of heaven, when someone hurts you, let it go." That's the stronger thing to do. Pray for them, forgive them, and do them good for the evil that they do to you. This is God's will. Amen. So, how can we do this then? Yes, it's, I shouldn't say amen because then you think the sermon's over. I got a few seconds left. How do we do this when it's so much our inclination, knee-jerk reaction to get even and hit back? Well, number one, know that if you return good for their evil and pray for them, you might just win them over to Christ. Remember Don Norton? We talked about him this morning at the Bible study. He used to come to our church. He's over in Oviedo now, but he worked for the fire department. And one year he had a very mean chief at the fire department. He was nasty to everybody. Nobody liked him. He was a grouch. He's terrible. He abused everybody. And Don Norton read these words about turning the other cheek and praying for those, your enemies. And he was like, "I don't want to do this. I don't like the guy. I'm afraid of him, but you tell me, God, I'll just do it." So he starts praying for him every day, every night, for his fire chief. He says about a month later, he was blown away. The guy called him into his office. He says, "Don, you're the only person that's nice to me." And he broke down and shared that his life was a mess. He was having trouble at home, and he asked Don for help. And they became best of friends, and he started being nice to everybody. Why? Don didn't want to turn the other cheek or pray for him, but he did, and it won the man over to friendship and perhaps also, I think, to Christ. So that's the goal. A second reason you should do this is because at least you're not making the world worse. The devil loves it when you get even. That's what his whole kingdom's built on, to create strife and violence. And if he can throw the knock around the world and have it go like dominoes, he can throw the world into violence. But if it comes to you and you don't return evil for evil, but good for evil, guess what? The dominoes stop at you and his work. You're a wrench in his plans. And doesn't that make you feel good to hinder the devil and his work? So at least you're not making the world worse. And thirdly, God says, you, when you do good for evil, you're going to be recognizing your role, that justice and vengeance belongs to me, not to you. For repay no one evil for evil, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, says Paul. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. If someone hurts you and you don't respond, that doesn't mean that there's no justice. That means you're leaving it in God's hands to do the justice, and frankly, he's going to be a lot better at it than you are. I've seen a righteous person one time suffering greatly at the hand of the wicked, a boss, and it seemed bad for a while. The person just responded right, and in a short time later, I looked again, and the righteous person had a job, and the wicked person was cast out of the job. God will work the vengeance in his time. Leave it to him. And lastly, and I can't say lastly, we're getting towards the end. Return good to the people who do you evil, because you're going to show yourselves to be sons of the Father. That's the way he is with the evil. But also, you're going to be imitating the Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about it. Our sins are like spitting at Jesus. Insults to him. Abuse to the Savior. But he did not return to you evil for your evil, but he returned to you good. He turned the other cheek, especially at the cross, willing to suffer all those things, not return at all a hit for a hit, but rather to receive it for you, and thereby to die on the cross for our sins and set us free by turning the other cheek. Peter says, for to this you've been called, it because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. But he trusted to him who judges justly, and he bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. For you're straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Jesus, by returning you good instead of evil for your evil, saved us eternally to life, and that forever in joy in his kingdom. And that's, of course, our goal when we do good, to save others and win them also to Christ the same way. So in conclusion then today, to turn the other cheek doesn't mean you're a doormat, doesn't mean you're a pushover, doesn't mean bad guys don't get consequences, doesn't mean you can't stand up for yourself and use force at times or to defend others, and it's certainly not a license to go after them. But it simply means this: don't seek your own revenge. When people do you evil, you're called to just overcome their evil by doing them good. And Peter says, again, and we'll conclude with this, don't return evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But on the contrary, bless, because to this you've been called, so that, with the purpose that you might receive from God a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Are We to Deal with Those Who Abuse Us? A broadcast of Chartered Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul.